This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sandhu. Augmented reality functions in all sorts of industries. So we've seen videos of AR being used as marketing tools through interactive holograms, education sector as well. And yet, why is it so hard for us to integrate this into our everyday lifestyle? Well, on the show with me, two gentlemen who are probably going to answer me that question, why is it so hard for AR to seep into our daily lives? And they are...
Hi, my name is Munzir. People call me Mooks, basically. I'm the Managing Director, Creative Director of the Ministry Experience.
And I'm Andrew Yu. I'm the Technical Director of the Ministry Experience.
All right, guys. Also, we'll talk about the role of AR in our society, the Ministry Asia itself. You know, it's a local live brand agency, experience agency, specializing in augmented reality engagements. And with that, I guess, you know, we need to talk about, you know, the Ministry Asia here.
That's right.
You know, who are you guys, you know, branding yourselves as the live brand experience agency here? So tell me more.
Right. Basically, there's four of us, basically, we are pretty much in four different kind of backgrounds as well. So I'm mostly in the advertising scene. We've got Mr. Ivan as well, where he's basically, he's been around within the whole production film scene. And then we have Ram, who's in the audio scene. And
I was in academia before, and I was doing research in augmented reality for about 7 years before I joined the Ministry Asia as a partner.
Wow, right. So you've got people from the video background, audio background, and the agency background, and of course you've got, you know, it's like thinking in the brain, and then you've got, you know, Andrew, who's like, you know, this mad scientist here, who's the hardware guy, right? Yeah. So how did y'all then came about, and how long has the Ministry Asia been around for?
Well, we've been around a strong 1 year. Basically, before this, we had indulged ourselves into AR and VR, and we decided to create something on our own. We pretty much came together and decided to create a different kind of experience or provide a different kind of experience focusing on AR and VR. Mm. And
this is due to your exposure previously before the
yes,
right.
Yes.
So you had exposure in the AR VR space already.
Yes, I had exposure for a few years, basically creating AR VR content for different kind of brands from around the world.
Right.
So it was great to kind of match everyone together, and it was great for us to pretty much connected with Mr. Andrew here, who's been exposed in the AR.
During my work in the university, I saw some really crazy experiments done with AR. Like, in AR, you don't just augment your visuals, you also augment your sound, your taste, your feeling.
Huh.
Yeah, it's not just about, you know, adding 3D graphics to the environment.
Because
all
that's,
sensors can be
that's
augmented.
Just so year 2000 of AR, right?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Now AR is different.
The evolution of AR, basically, I think the first time consumers or the people has been was exposed to AR, it was more of like you see it on the screen, and basically a video would play, or you see an imagery or whatever it is. So it was more on screen based AR. But in terms of the AR evolution, there's so many steps to it as well, and it has expanded to a lot of different techniques, basically, and different components, like pretty much have to include different technologies or different tools to combine to create one big experience, basically.
Mm. And Andrew, you mentioning that you came from the academic background doing AR and VR.
Yes.
It's a very new industry. So what were you doing in the academic sector that, and then you realized this should actually get out of the academic sector and you know, use it for brands.
Yeah, actually, those of us in the academic sector doing augmented reality, we've known already the potential of AR is really, really huge. It's not just for brands, but for society as a whole, because AR is a user interface that can link to different technologies like artificial intelligence, big data, you know, Internet of Things, and all this information can be fed to the user via an AR user interface, and the user can interact using natural interaction methods through the same AR user interface.
But you were working with a bunch of students, I guess, you know, a group of students you were working with, and then you just realized, you know, these are the people who are, you know, consumers at the end of the day, and they seem to be so familiar with it. This new generation, they're so comfortable with AR and VR.
Yeah, the new generation, they are comfortable with technology as, in general. But AR is a bit different because while the older generation may be a bit, you know, hesitant to try new new devices, but once they get to try it, they find that actually AR is a very natural way of interacting with a computer. For example, my mom, right, she doesn't know how to use a smartphone at all. She doesn't text at all. She doesn't call. She's totally disconnected. But I brought her to our office here in KL, and she put on the HTC Vive, this VR headset.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and she was in there for like over an hour, you know, touring museums and different countries, landmarks. And we just couldn't get her out.
It's such an experience. I guess, you know, AR, when it's being introduced or when it's being told as a new technology platform, for me, it's, for most people, I guess, you know, it's always got like, yeah, you know, it's a nice thing. You know, I see it because, you know, you wear on a, you know, a headset, and, you know, you travel to a different place. You know, you do like a, you become a couch surfer. You know, you travel around the world, visit museums, and, you know, go underwater while you're just sitting on the couch. That's great. We don't really see that potential, that how, you know, this could be. No, but the newer generation, they seem to see that, hey, this is actually pretty fun. There's actually a communication here that's going on.
Well, I mean, with AR and VR, the audience is pretty much immersed into this whole platform. And the way information is channeled out, it's a totally different feel to it. What you see, what you hear, and how you feel, the emotions that that content can bring out in you, it's a totally different experience. And I think a lot of people who have indulged in these kind of experiences get hooked on it. And especially, you know, having to be exposed to different kind of information, different kind of content, for example, like VR, getting to see different parts of the world. I think there's just one VR content they were exposing. How was it like if you were deep in the sea and the kind of you know, the kind of creatures you would see and all that. And it's not something that you see every day.
Yeah.
So when you're in it, you tend to spend a lot of time because it's something new, is the curiosity comes into play, and basically you want to experience it more and more. It's just like watching, let's say, your favorite like TV show, whatever it is, right? Once you're hooked into the storyline, then you want to watch it again and again and again. So in terms of the tools that we have here, tools or technology will always be evolving. But the way how we tell the story, how we lay out the content, how we strategize the content to encapsulate that whole emotion and curiosity or the feel of being, you know, very excited about whatever it is that you're seeing, it's a whole totally different experience. Yeah.
And I want to say AR as a tool for end users, it transcends all barriers, age, ability, because you don't just augment your eyesight, you know, you augment your hearing as well and your sense of touch and taste. So even if you can't see, you know, you can still perceive what's in the AR environment.
There's something, you know, neurological about the VR or AR that triggers, you know, some part of your brain that, you know, that makes it think that it's a real thing, especially now with current technologies in AR and VR. You know, back then, I guess, you know, it's a lot more pixelated, the frame rates has problems with it, but we've fixed all that, and, you know, it's also become a lot more affordable. Now, we'll take a short break, but when we come back, we'll talk about how you guys have been able to break that resistant mindset to show the real impact of AR and VR in everyday life. This is Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
And we're back, and my name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Mooks and Dr. Andrew from the Ministry Asia, talking about VR and AR, making it possible in our everyday lives. Mooks, you had experience in this, in Europe, where they are a lot more friendlier to adopting new technologies like this. And Andrew, you came from the education sector, working with younger demographics. So what made you then decide, like, yes, you know, this could actually work as a brand experience tool here in Malaysia, where we seem to play a lot of the, you know, let's wait and see approach when it comes to new technologies? How has it been so far? And, you know, you've been around for a year now.
Yes.
Yeah. So how has it been in trying to convince, like, you know, this is a thing. It's not just a new thing. This is actually
the thing.
It's not new anymore. It's just really cool. It's the thing to bring in an experience that we all talk about.
Yeah. From what we know, basically in 2016, we can see, I think, about 75% of the big brands has already jumped into this technology, and they have already created content involving, you know, AR and VR. I mean, the first time that I've seen AR being introduced to consumers was back in, let's say, 2011, and that was based in, you know, like what I was saying before, was you have the screen, and then things come out from the screen, and that was a different kind of experience, all, you know, for the consumers as well. It was a new experience, but I think the issues that we have here is still very new here in Malaysia. People are not really exposed to it. Brands are looking at what kind of possibility, also the investment that is put into it, and convincing them that it's very effective or whatever it is, that will take time, because we have to really create and showcase the kind of value that they would gain out of creating this kind of content. And I think it's just a matter of time where if we talk to the right brands who are really wanting to jump into this whole innovation process and creating something new, then they would elevate more in terms of this kind of experiences. So I think, I don't know, Andrew, what was your experience?
From a technological standpoint, right, AR technology is only just beginning to become affordable and usable for, you know, the mass market. Only recently, like in December, AR Kit was released, and that enabled all iPhones to you know, track the environment and view AR content. But before that, you had to prepare the environment with like patterns, you know, markers. These are image targets that the camera of the iPhone or the other mobile devices have to track before 3D content can be placed on it. So it's getting easier and easier, and we have to educate brands and other agencies that that these kind of barriers are no longer an issue.
And I guess also, you know, brands need to take notice of what these large manufacturers of this technology process that we use on a daily basis, what kind of new features they're adding in. Because, you know, once you see Apple, you know, doing an AR kit, and Google, you know, doing their own, you know, AR core within, you know, when these big brands are invested into this and it's going to be in your next device, it's about time that, you know, brands also sort of start looking into this and capture the audience, because it's going to be a global thing, right? Everyone's going to be able to experience this.
You have to keep up, or you would be left behind.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why we're so excited about 2018, because that's where, you know, Apple came out with the AR Kit, and Android's coming out with the AR Core, and you see a lot of bigger, the bigger names jumping into this. Basically, what they're doing is making AR and VR mainstream. So then, you know, your conventional phones or the phones that you have now will be equipped to view this kind of content.
Yeah.
And even if you look at, you know, I mean, the next couple of years to come, even the low-end phones will already be able to share this kind of content.
But there's also this misconception that, you know, the reason why I don't want to do AR or VR is just expensive. Is that true?
Yeah, well, right now, creating the content for that is quite expensive. especially in terms of VR, because you're not just looking at the technological aspect of it, but you are. It's just like having to make a TVC. You know, you have to have the whole video, the whole storytelling of component to it. At the same time, you're working with 3D, and so it's a different kind of tools that's involved into creating this one thing. But the value that you get from that, it's a lot more than just creating a TVC or whatever it is, right? So that's a lot of components that's involved. Yeah. So you're going to storytelling in terms of shooting the whole production aspect, the audio aspect, 3D, then the programming aspect, and then the whole engagement or interaction aspect. And then you have your whole.
You also have to do marketing for whatever you create.
That's definite as well, because you can't just create
and leave it
and
there.
Leave it there. You know, you definitely have to you really have to invest in. To really expose it,
What about the hardware side of AR and VR?
Yeah, the hardware really depends on what kind of experience you are trying to create. So right now there are headsets that you can put on. There are VR headsets and AR headsets. Generally speaking, AR headsets are more expensive because it involves a view of the real world and the augmented content is overlaid over that view. So it's much more complicated. Microsoft HoloLens has been around for about 2 years and it's still the first version that's out there, and it costs about, I think, $3,000. So it's not really for
everyday use.
Yeah,
right?
Not yet.
But we have seen brands like Sony, for example, in the PlayStation, they've sort of like made this like a beginner's entry to this space. Although, it's a fairly young comparing to like the Oculus Rift and the HTC Vive. The PS is slightly lower, but it again, it's a barrier, right? It's a low barrier entry, then you sort of experience it again. And it will be cheaper in a matter of time, right? Because it was
really quickly it will get much cheaper.
Also, the evolution of content itself, there's a lot of talks about VR content not being very effective. It's not how you're communicating it out. It's a one-on-one communication, but I think the more we are exposed to having to create this kind of content, the evolution of it will definitely change, and how we view things as well will change as well, and how you communicate or tell a story also will change, and the way let's say VR, for example, how you shoot a VR scene has evolved tremendously from just a normal a TVC or whatever it is, right? So that's an evolution of content as well, and you can see the evolution of content in AR as well. So in the beginning, let's say what was the big thing that sparked out AR was Pokemon Go. And that was the elementary aspect of what AR can be, but with AR, and I think Dr. Andrew can explain more about this, you can incorporate AI and IoT and whatever not, and to create this whole different experience that...
There's no limit to what we
There's no limit to it, because what this technology does is the focus is to improve lives, basically.
Okay. Talking about projects, you've done one with the Pizza Hut in the Sunway branch. And it's an AR menu. So tell me about this, because we talk a lot about the AR content, about the storytelling and stuff, but this is something slightly different, though. This is like an experience of going to a retail outlet, like an F&B outlet here, and I'm getting a menu that's AR based. So what am I seeing? What's the experience for the consumer here?
So basically, the whole concept of that was to create a digital concept store. That's just not focused on just the AR content, but it's a holistic change. So it's a change of the layout, a change of how you place an order, as well as having to learn what is available in Pizza Hut. So one of the main challenges was how do we get people to dine in into Pizza Hut more. The problem was people usually come by, take out, and they leave, and that's it. And they pretty much order the same kind of toppings. So we needed to focus on three aspects. One is to engage the audience, educate the audience, at the same time entertain the audience. So with this AR concept, what we did was created a solution where consumers are indulged in whatever toppings that they could have in it. And within that, we create a character, we create a whole kind of storyline where people engage more into what Pizza Hut had, basically. So they learn about the toppings, they played games, they could take pictures with it, and so on. So it's not just an AR component, but it's a whole strategy that we have injected into this. And what was great about it is that in-dining sales increased 32%, which is pretty high. We were only expecting a smaller amount. People pretty much came in and stayed and really indulge in the whole Pizza Hut experience, which is what the brand, the intention at first, that's what they wanted to, do.
Also that people were more willing to try the new dishes that were put out at the restaurant compared to it before.
Right, because it gives you you're spending more time on this on the menu, and you're playing around with it. You're discovering new items.
And when we were creating the menu, we were told to emphasize certain dishes that we wanted to push the customers, new dishes that they wanted to try, wanted the customers to try. And so we presented attractive AR graphics, 3D representations of those dishes, and I think that really preyed on the customers' attention and. Really got them to remember those dishes.
You know, for an increase of more than 30% to a retail store in this day and age, that's
quite high.
That's a very high number. Yes. You know, because we all know the brick and mortar scene. You know, that's a struggling business at this point in time. Everyone's going online, so AR is now seen as a tool that you could be. You know, it is an attractive way to attract customers to just come in, because that's the step one of getting a sale, to bring in the customer.
Yeah.
We'll take another short break. But after this, we'll try and spark some ideas for you to help you maybe think outside of the box on what AR and VR can do for your business that you maybe have not thought about. BFM 89.9.
Because feelings matter. BFM 89.9.
Hey, you're back with me, Jeff Sandhu, with Mux and Andrew from the Ministry Asia, talking about all things VR, AR, and early on, we talked about some really great examples of using AR, VR in an F&B outlet and, you know, showing the real ROI in terms of sales, something that's really hard to come by with brick-and-mortar outlets these days. Besides F&B, is there a use case for AR in, you know, more of, you know, different kind of industries? And if so, what kind of industries? Let's just spark some ideas, perhaps.
Oh, man. If let's
any
pick
kind of
the world is your oyster.
Yeah. Let's pick
makeup cosmetics industry.
So makeup.
Yes.
Makeup.
So there are these mirrors that, you know, the customer looks into. They see themselves, but they can then choose different kinds of lipstick. Foundation color.
We've reached to that level that we can actually do this now. Because, we talk about it in like, you know, things like CES, for example, right? We go like, oh, yeah, you know, there's the smart mirror, there's the smart brush and stuff. These are things that we see on expos, but we can actually do this already.
Yeah. These systems are already on sale.
That'll be interesting. We're using a mirror that I just see a lot of sales for, you know, this makeup outlets and
I think one of the most challenging industry could be like insurance, for example, and with the help of AR, you know, having to really push through how you you make the sale, or you convince someone, or introduce certain products for them to indulge in, or to obtain, basically. There's a lot of possibilities, a lot of ways that we can show that. One prime example, what we did was with this insurance company, we pretty much showed how an accident could be possible, or the actual situation of being in an accident in a VR content, you know. So you create that sign of that
sense of insecurity. Yes. Anything could happen at any time.
Yes. Mm. So you are already immersed in that, and you know, it will trigger a top of mind. It's like, hey man, I really need insurance for this or whatever it is, and that convert back to the sales or whatever. Mm. You know, so there's a lot of different ways that that AR and VR can play in a part of external communication or even internal communication.
Mm. I got a friend of mine who got over his fear of heights because of VR.
Right, yeah,
it's like
true.
After months of training, he would say, you know, he's finally managed to, you know, get over
this
fear.
This is another whole, you know, world of applications for AR, which is to the psychological rehabilitation.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. And the other aspect of, I guess, you know, why some may resist AR and VR is because it's like, it feels like it's another layer from, you know, the traditional of what we have in the smartphones and tablets, right? It feels like, you know, this is another one more thing that I got to bring around or I got to charge around. Yeah. Is that still justified with the advancements that we have today?
Well, in terms of technology, those are some of the limitations that we have to go through. I mean, charging something, that's good, you know.
That's not going to go away.
Yes, it's not going to go away.
I believe eventually it will go away.
It will.
Yeah, soon. Yeah, eventually.
I mean,
yeah.
I can tell you that, you know, with wireless charging and contact lens displays, you don't have to wear anything, you know. It's not invasive. You just walk around and AR is there already. Mm. Yeah, that is the direction that we are heading to.
Yeah, and we've been talking about, you know, so AR or AVR be used in terms of external communication or whatever. But to look at AR in terms of manufacturing, I think that's a whole different scene altogether. How it could help in terms of within a factory, you know, the whole process flow, and things like that. I think, why don't you share some of that?
When I was working in Singapore in my lab, one of our research projects was augmented reality industrial robot programming. So in this system, the user could point at any object in the factory workspace, and the robot would move to that location and perform any task. Mm. The user could also draw a path, you know, in midair using his finger or a stylus, and the robot will follow that.
I'm just thinking of Pacific Rim here. I'm immediately thinking of Pacific Rim, but that's pretty much, you know, the dream you will have.
Yeah, you don't have no need for any training, you know, no need for any technical expertise. Just point and tell the robot to do stuff.
Mm. Well, which leads me to a question about, you know, the society and how we're changing in communications. I think, you know, if you go back to, I think SMS is the 26th birthday this year in 2018 for SMS. And, you know, 26 years ago, everyone woke up, decided that, you know what, this is the way to communicate in the future. Everyone's going to stick to SMS because everyone just stuck to it. Now we're seeing with AR and VR coming into play. As a society, in the way that we communicate, we seem to be losing that face-to-face element and, you know, building the trust with someone, reading the body language and, you know, tonality and understand. Does AR take us away from this, or does AR actually brings back this element into a digital world that seems to be losing this
I believe
touch?
It brings us closer because of telepresence technologies. People from far away, they can, you know, you can feel as if they are right next to you. Augmented reality technologies can project, you know, the view of that person right in your living room sitting next to you.
Creepy. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that whole evolution of the way we communicate as well. I mean, before this, that whole disconnect, it was because of the phones, and basically people were just on the phone all the time and looking at that one-to-one screen.
That Black Mirror.
Yeah, exactly, right? But in terms of AR, we can see that changing as well, where you will communicate face-to-face, but not really face-to-face in that sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you could be in another place. So you can see that already with, let's say, the FaceTime or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But putting that context into a different format, you can see the potential of that and how the way we communicate can change, can lead to a change.
Mm-hmm. So for brands who are listening to this and feel like, yeah, you know what, maybe I want to try something out in VR, what should they ask themselves first before they, you know, go on into VR? Because we've seen some AR, VR projects that have failed and, you know, and then it didn't quite take off because of, you know, wrong directions or wrong strategy. What should they ask themselves before, you know, coming up to you guys and go like, yep, we want to do an AR project or a VR project?
I think the content is always the primary focus. And the technology that, you know, the system that we implement to deliver that content should suit the content. So that's the question, like, what is it we want to tell before we develop?
Because for
platform?
Brands, for brands, they will go like, you know, my ROI is just, I want, you know, the same. I want 30% increase of, you know, people coming into my store. But, you know, there should be more, you know, I guess from brands itself, they should be asking themselves a lot more detailed questions.
Yeah, I guess, like, you know, in terms of sales, and it's more of engagement to the audience. And I think this is the tools that enhances that engagement and telling that story of why, convincing the audience of why they should use certain products or they should experience certain brands. And I think if you look at society now, the Gen Ys and the Gen Zs, for example, they are tired of being, in a way, lied to, whatever. You know, in terms of ads, they get turned off straight away.
Yeah, we download ad blocks and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
We're tired. So, yeah, we're tired of that, right? But what we want to do is we want to really see transparency in terms of, hey, this product really works. It tells a different story. Mm. It makes me believe that, hey, I really want to use the certain products, or I want to be affiliated with the certain brands or whatever it is. And if what we do know that brands that do jump into this kind of technology, consumers are more affected in a sense where they feel stronger about the brand. It's a forward-thinking brand. Mm. They could relate to it because, you know, they were born with the iPads and the mobile phones and whatever not, right? So that evolution as well, we have to change that game.
And also, brands should look inward into internal applications of AR, because AR can be used to help in the internal operations, and it's been shown that when the employees, you know, have a positive idea of the brand, it translates into the external reputation and how the public perceives that brand as well.
Mm. Despite a lot of consumers these days have a shorter attention span and we're a lot more aggressive when it comes to ads being popping up to us, once an AR or the VR campaign is executed well, you do see people then investing it. It's because, you know, investing time in a platform or you know, or a certain campaign in an online world, that is the most difficult part. That's what all brands and advertisers wish to achieve, right? To make you stay for that entire 5 minutes video instead of just hitting skip ad.
Yes, I mean, it's all about the experience. That's the most important thing. And being the first at whatever it is you do. I mean, you can be the second person to do a similar format of Pokemon, and you still can get away with it.
Yeah.
But if you're the third and fourth, it's not going to work anymore.
It's So strike it when the iron's hot. You know?
Exactly. So you always have to innovate, create something new. And that is where we want to come in and really help creating that new concept.
All right, which leads me to my last question. And from your you know, your experiences with the Ministry Asia, now you've just passed your 1 year mark. What are you excited about in 2018? Because we see, as we mentioned, we've talked about earlier, you know, a lot of brands are now enabling AR and VR on your phones and stuff. What are you all excited about this year?
Are we excited about using the new technologies that are going to be released this year? For example, the Magic Leap headset. It's supposed to be very lightweight, and the graphical rendering is high quality. You know, it's going to eliminate motion sickness and all. So we're excited to use these technologies to tell our stories, to demonstrate to brands what can be done using AR.
This motion sickness thing, I've had like two people who've come up to me and go like, I can't do a VR, it's giving me a motion sickness. I hope we can eliminate this in AR. It's not just now it just feels like, just take a pill and like you know, you'll be fine after this, you know, don't puke after that. But yeah,
right.
What about Mooks? What are you excited about?
Well, my excitement within the ministry experience, I think for us, we are developing this new platform to push AR content, to make it more affordable as well for a lot of the big brands. And we're excited to be able to create this and be able to jump into this whole hype or the mainstreamness of AR and VR. And I think with this development, we will see more and more brands jumping into it. Even with, you know, after we finish the Pizza Hut, we had a lot of different brands just jumping in and say, hey, I want to try this, I want to try that. So they really want to try it, but it's the investment part of it.
Yeah.
How can we justify the investment? And how could it lead back to proper results that they want? And I think with this kind of tools that we are having to create this year would really help that and could pretty much give the results that they would want to see.
I can imagine if I'm a retail owner next to the Pizza Hut in Sunway that has the AR menu, I'll just go like, I want one of that too. I'm very sure people will be like, I want one of that because, you know, I'm just next to these guys and, you know, these guys are getting a whole bunch of people coming in because of their very funky AR menu. Anyways, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. I've been talking to Mudze Abdul Latif and also Dr. Andrew Yap, and they are from the Ministry Asia, and we were talking about augmented reality and also a little bit about virtual reality and how we could help your brand in this very noisy digital space. You've been listening to Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.